Well, as you can see, we're continuing our sermon series on Behold Him. Karen last week started by considering Jesus as the Word of God that's come to dwell among us, or the Logos as it would be in Greek. Today, as you'll see up there, we're focusing on Jesus the Pioneer, which you may not have heard much about. It's not written heaps about in that particular language, but in the book of Hebrews that we're going to focus a little bit on today, particularly chapter 2 and also in chapter 12, it's an idea that's put forward and is worthy of our attention. Let me pray as we start. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you so much that we can see Jesus. We pray that in seeing him, we will not lose heart, but rather we will be lifted up, that we will know your joy and peace and have hope for this day and for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the readings that I'm drawing from today are from the book of Hebrews, and what a marvelous book the book of Hebrews is. There is so much going on in that book if you've ever read it. Now, if you read it and you actually haven't read the Old Testament or don't have a good grasp on the Old Testament, you'd probably go, what's going on in that book of Hebrews? Because it talks about so many different Old Testament things, particularly because it was written to Jewish Christians. And trying to convince some of the Jewish Christians who were thinking about, oh, should I go back to the old way of just Judaism and not totally entering into the new things of Jesus? Should I start to go back? The letter to the Hebrews is designed to exhort these people to not let go of Jesus, but rather hang on to him and to persevere. Because Jesus is the greatest. Now, I remember back in 1995, I think, Ed, you were doing this with me. We're up at the old Girton College. We were studying from Bible College of Victoria. We did the book of Hebrews. Did you do that one as well? I think you might have. I put him on the spot. Anyway, Edward was doing some of the study up at the old Girton Orphanage. Was anyone here doing any of that? Jeff Chittenden. So I remember studying the book of Hebrews at that point, and one of the essays that I was given to do, it actually made me fall in love with biblical exegesis, and it was thinking about, in the book of Hebrews, one particular thing about these people who were thinking of leaving the faith and what that meant. And what it meant to hold on to allegiance to Jesus. And I actually was the first A I'd ever got in my life, I reckon. Yes. But it made me go, I want to keep going to Bible college after doing this assignment. And the thing that came out as I looked into this thought in the book of Hebrews, the author is likening people who are wanting to move away from Jesus like a boat. Anyone here a fisherman? Yeah. Or fisher lady in boats? Well, you get this idea that it's like being in a boat and going up to moor it, or coming up to another boat and wanting to moor next to it, but not tying it down. What will happen if you don't tie it down? You'll blow away or drift away, or you'll get drawn away by the current. And the writer to the Hebrews likens people who abandon Jesus as people who aren't tied down or aren't fixed to the point where they should be, and they drift away. I found that really, really an amazing image, particularly because the year before in America, when I was over there, I heard a song in God's providence that came over the radio that said, you're drifting away, you're drifting away. Don't wait too long to let Jesus change your ways. And I, at that point, I had known that I was starting to drift. And when I heard that song, I'm like, oh, I need to come back. I need to hold on to Jesus. And that's what the author of the Hebrews is wanting the people to do, to hold on to Jesus so that you don't drift away. It sort of acknowledges that most people don't go, right, I'm leaving Jesus, I don't like him anymore, but rather they lose their sight of him and they wake up and go, oh, I don't feel it anymore. One day, but it's been a long process, but they find themselves away. Well, in the book of Hebrews, the author wants that to not happen, to not lose your faith through a drifting away. And how he makes that happen, how he wants to encourage people to not do that, is by lifting up Jesus. In our passage that we heard today in verse 9, it said, but we do see Jesus. This is the idea. We want to see Jesus. Or at the start of chapter 12, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The remedy for drifting away is to behold him, to see him, to fix your eyes on him. As you would, if you work through the book of Hebrews, you would see Jesus writ big. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than the high priest. He is greater than Melchizedek. He brings a greater covenant. He ushers in a greater temple. He offers a greater sacrifice. And the author to the Hebrews would say a natural outflow of this is that you would give your allegiance to him. You would hold on to him. Why would you turn anywhere else? See him for who he is and hang on to him. Today's sermon is not about drifting away, but rather the remedy, seeing Jesus. And that's really what our whole sermon series is about. Us as a church beholding him. And we're going to be talking about slightly different things that we normally would. And so today, in talking about the pioneer, it's something we don't think about much, but there's some really interesting things and general concepts that I found really good to think about. The pioneer. Verse 10 of chapter 2, it talks about in Jesus bringing many sons and daughters to glory. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus wasn't perfect before he suffered, but rather the fullness of who Jesus was always intended to be was made complete through the cross. So his fullness was on display when he entered into that on the cross. But there it talks about him being the pioneer of their salvation. That's our salvation. Jesus is the pioneer. Now, when I think about pioneers, the first thing that comes into my mind is Bendigo Pioneers, the football team, which I played one game for, just one. Then I gave up because I got dropped the following week. So then I got my knickers in a knot and left. Not very resilient there. But what else you would think of in being pioneers is people who go. People who go to the untamed places where the civilization really is not. In our day and age, we don't see many pioneers because so much of the world has been actually harnessed and controlled. But we know about pioneers. It was less than 200 years ago that Bendigo hadn't been pioneered. Sure, there were first peoples around here and they were very good at harnessing the land. But in Western cultures, so to speak, our nation, our town, our city here had not been pioneered. And it took some courageous people to go, well, I'm going to leave my comforts. I'm going to leave the cities. I'm going to leave the running water and the sewers and the stable food supply. And I'm going to go. Pioneers are people with courage. Pioneers are people who are willing to take a risk. pioneers often are people who are wanting to probably make a bit of cash and make something grow. But the idea of a pioneer is normally to establish. Why? So that in the end, others could come. If you're a successful pioneer, you make a place safe so that then others can follow. I went looking on the internet and found an article from the Bendigo Independent from Saturday, June 23rd, 1894. And it was the bit highlighted on this side is talking about the pioneers of Bendigo. And there's a picture that I found in connection with this, and it shows all these people, essentially from 1851 to 60s, all these people came to Bendigo and started to make the town great. Now, obviously here, you can't really see it from there, but they're all dressed up in their Sunday best, and they certainly don't look like pioneers because they look very, very rich. And I think because of the success of Bendigo, these people here would be the successful people. And this is the outcome of the pioneers who came, the ones who were willing to take a risk to make safe a place, to have the first store, to have the first baker, to have the first bank, to have the first, it goes on, until a whole group of people could come and be in the place. Now, you'll notice very clearly that they're all blokes, so that's obviously not all the pioneers, so it's very, and they're all pretty much white. So that, again, that shows the times, how they viewed success and things like that, and where power was. But nonetheless, these were the people who were willing to take a risk, and they had succeeded. But there were people who needed to go first and pave the way, so that more people could come. Pioneers go and do the uncomfortable things so that then other people can follow. And that's where I want to turn back to our Hebrews reading. And it's only a little thought, but nonetheless, it's a really important one for us. That Jesus is our pioneer. He is the one who went ahead of us. In verse 9 and 10, it talks about these things, that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for a little while, in that he was in glory in heaven, and then he came to earth, and seemingly humanity seems lower than the angels at the moment, though it won't always be the case. Humanity will be flipped around and in glory will be ruling, and the angels won't be at all. So Jesus came into humanity, or as last week Karen said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that from the Gospel of John, where it talks about God dwelling among us, it's actually the Greek word is just tenting, that God comes and tents among us or tabernacles among us. And in a sense, he's roughing it down in the place that isn't as safe or as holy or as good. And he comes down in order to make a place for us. And so what Jesus does in coming, he then enters a place where we could not go safely, i.e. into death. And in verse 9, it says that because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus, who came to dwell among us, went to a place where it was not safe for us, to death and the judgment seat of God, so that he might taste that for all of us. And then in verse 10, it's an amazing thing, because through that death, it says that he brings many sons and daughters to glory, that the outcome of him tasting death for us is that we who are in him can be drawn in and through death, that our death will no longer mean the end for us. And that is an almighty joy. And like this, how the first pioneers enabled many sons and daughters to come to Bendigo, so too Jesus entering into death and conquering it enables many sons and daughters to join him in the kingdom of God. We read in the Gospel of John that he goes to prepare a place for us. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Jesus, our pioneer, is preparing a place, and not only a place where we can be in the life to come, we will be safe in him, but we have also a place in a family. Notice that we're called in bringing many sons and daughters to glory. And then that chapter goes on to say that Jesus isn't ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, that we, because of what he has done, have been brought to a new family, to a new home, and we have safety through death and out the other side. Verse 14, it said, since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, the children, he too, that's Jesus, shared in their humanity so that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Because our pioneer broke that power, we can join him without being afraid. And brothers and sisters, I just want to point you to Tracy Chittenden and Alan Weeks, who both died this week. And they had a very, very strong hope that they knew where they were going. Why? Because our pioneer has gone ahead of us. He's come back and told us it's safe to go. Come, follow me. Thomas said to Jesus, but we don't know the way. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We need not fear death. We can have hope and peace in this life because our pioneer has gone ahead of us and now is living in us through his Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to finish now by reading the last part, the first part of chapter 12 of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. Again, this talks about the pioneer, Jesus being the pioneer, and where our eyes need to be fixed so that we don't float away, but rather we endure. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Behold him, Jesus, the pioneer of our faith.